and for myself and the asshole I've been. Hell, hell, hell. Grace rocks me to and fro, kissing my hair and crooning soft words as she lets me cry. It's going to be okay, Christian. It's going to be okay. She holds me tight, and I don't want her to let go. Mom, the first woman to save me. I sit up and wipe my face and find she's crying too. For fuck's sake, Mom, stop crying. Her tears turn to smiles. She hands me a tissue from her purse and takes one for herself. Reaching up, she caresses my face.
It's taken 24 years for you to let me hold you like this, she says sadly.
I know, Mom.
Better late than never.
She pats my face, and I give her a watery smile. I'm glad we talked.
Me too, darling. I'm always here.
She looks at me with nothing but love, and she grins with a hint of glee.
I can't believe I'm going to be a grandmother.
It's darker, later. I don't know what time, and I'm too exhausted to look. Anna lies in her own private world.
Oh, baby, please come back to me. I'm sorry. Sorry for everything. Just wake up. I miss you. I love you.
I kiss her knuckles and rest my head on my arms on her bed. It's a soft touch, fingers running through my hair, and in this dream I revel in her touch.
Shit.
I wake instantly and sit up. Anna is gazing at me with big, beautiful blue eyes. Joy bursts in my heart. I have never been so pleased to see those eyes as I am now.
Hi,
she croaks, her voice hoarse.
Oh, Anna. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God.
I grasp her hand and hold her palm to my face so she's caressing me.
I need to use the bathroom,
she whispers.
Okay.
Anna tries to sit up. Anna, stay still, I'll call a nurse. Standing, I reach for the buzzer at her bedside.
Please.
She whispers.
I need to get up.
Will you do as you're told for once? I snap.
I really need to pee.
She rasps. The nurse arrives and she's pleased to see Anna's finally conscious.
Mrs. Gray, welcome back. I'll let Dr. Bartley know you're awake.
She makes her way to Anna's bedside.
My name is Nora. Do you know where you are?
Her blue eyes twinkle kindly.
Yes, hospital. I need to pee. I'll fetch a bedpan.
Nurse Nora offers. Anna screws up her face in revulsion.
Please, I want to get up. Mrs. Gray.
Nora is not convinced.
Please.
Anna.
I warn as she struggles to sit up.
Mr. Gray, I am sure Mrs. Gray would like some privacy.
Nora raises an eyebrow, and from her tone I know she's dismissing me.
In your dreams, sweetheart. I'm not going anywhere.
Christian, please.
Anna grasps my hand, and I give hers a squeeze, beyond grateful that she's back.
Please.
She says once more. Shit. Fine. I run my hand over my scalp, frustrated that she wants to be rid of me already. You have 2 minutes. I snap at Nurse Nora. I lean down and kiss my wife's forehead and storm out of the room. I pace the corridor. Anna doesn't want me anywhere near her. Perhaps she can't stand the sight of me. I wouldn't blame her.
Fuck, I can't bear this.
I storm back into the room as Nora is helping Anna out of bed. Let me take her, I say.
Mr. Gray, I can manage.
Nurse Nora scolds, giving me an icy look.
Damn it, she's my wife. I'll take her.
I move her IV stand out of my way.
Mr. Gray!
Nora chastises me, but I ignore her and carefully place my arms around and under my wife and lift her. Anna wraps her arms around my neck and I carry her into the adjacent bathroom. Nurse Nora follows, pushing the IV stand. Mrs. Gray, you're too light. I set Anna on her feet, keeping one hand on her so she doesn't fall. She seems a little unsteady. I flip on the light and Anna staggers. Hell. Sit before you fall. I don't let go of her. Gingerly, she does as she's told, and once she's seated, I release her.
Go.
She waves me out.
No, just pee, Anna. I can't. Not with you here.
She peers up, beseeching me with wide, dark eyes.
You might fall.
Mr. Gray!
Nora is not happy, but we both ignore her.
Please,
Anna says. Fuck. Get a grip, Gray. I'll stand outside, door open. I step outside with Nora while she glares at me.
Turn around, please,
Anna says, and I want to smile. We've done all manner of things to each other, but this is a hard limit for her. I roll my eyes, but do as she asks. Nora mutters something under her breath, and I think I catch the word interfering, but I'm too relieved that Anna's woken up to let it bother me. After a minute or two, Anna pipes up that she's done. I scoop her into my arms once more, and I'm thrilled when she curls her arms around me. I bury my nose in her hair, but I'm alarmed to find that she doesn't smell of Anna. She smells of chemicals and hospitals and fucking trauma. But I don't care. She's back.
Oh, I've missed you, Mrs. Gray,
I whisper, and I lay her back on her bed, Nurse Nora trailing behind me with the IV, a scowling chaperone.
If you've quite finished, Mr. Gray, I'd like to check over Mrs. Gray now.
Nurse Nora is hatchet-faced when mad. I stand back and hold up my hands in surrender. She's all yours. Nora huffs, unimpressed, but she smiles at Anna.
How do you feel? Sore and thirsty? Very thirsty? I'll fetch you some water once I've checked your vitals and Dr. Bartley has examined you.
She reaches for a blood pressure cuff and wraps it around Anna's upper arm while I watch. Anna's eyes stay on me. She frowns.
What is it? Does she want me to leave? Gray, you must look a sight.
I sit down on the edge of the bed, out of Nora's reach.
How are you feeling?
I ask Anna.
Confused, achy, hungry.
Hungry?
She nods. What do you want to eat?
Anything? Soup?
Mr. Gray, you'll need the doctor's approval before Mrs. Gray can eat.
Nora and I are not on the same wavelength. I pull my phone from my pocket and call Taylor.
Mr. Gray.
Anna wants chicken soup.
I'm delighted to hear that, sir.
I know he's smiling.
Gail's gone to her sister's, but I'll call the Olympic Hotel. They'll still have room service at this time.
Good.
I'll be right there.
Thank you. I hang up. Nora looks grimmer than ever, but I don't care.
Taylor?
Anna asks. I nod.
Your blood pressure is normal, Mrs. Gray. I'll fetch the doctor.
Nora removes the cuff and, without so much as another word, stalks out of the room, radiating disapproval at me.
I think you made Nurse Nora mad.
I have that effect on women. I smirk at Anna, and she laughs, but stops abruptly, her face stricken as she clutches her side.
Yes, you do,
she says, gently.
Oh, Anna, I love to hear you laugh, but not if it pains you.
Nora returns with a pitcher of water, and Anna and I fall silent, gazing at each other as she pours a glass.
Small sips now,
Nora warns.
Yes, ma'am.
Anna takes a sip and closes her eyes for a moment. When she opens them, she looks directly at me.
Mia?
She's safe, thanks to you.
They did have her?
Yes.
How did they get her?
Elizabeth Morgan.
No.
I nod. She picked her up at Mia's gym. Anna frowns, as if she can't quite comprehend the magnitude of Morgan's and Hyde's treachery. I'll fill you in on the details later. Mia is fine, all things considered. She was drugged. She's groggy now and shaken up, but by some miracle she wasn't harmed. My anger flares once more. Anna put herself and Junior in jeopardy.
What you did.
I drag my fingers through my hair, choosing my words carefully and trying to hang on to my temper. Was incredibly brave and incredibly stupid. You could have been killed.
I didn't know what else to do,
she whispers and glances down at her fingers.
You could have told me. He said he'd kill her if I told anyone. I couldn't take that risk.
I close my eyes as I imagine the most awful outcome. No Mia, no Anna.
I have died 1,000 deaths since Thursday.
My voice is hoarse.
What day is it?
It's almost Saturday. I check my watch. You've been unconscious for more than 24 hours.
And Jack and Elizabeth?
In police custody, although Hyde is here under guard. They had to remove the bullet you left in him. Once more, I wish she'd ended him. I don't know where in this hospital he is, fortunately, or I'd probably kill him myself. Anna's eyes grow wide and she shudders, her fear evident as her shoulders tense and tears prick her eyes. Hey. I move forward, taking the glass from her hand, placing it on the nightstand, and gently folding her into my arms.
You're safe now.
Christian, I'm so sorry.
She starts to cry.
No, Anna, you're safe.
Hush. I stroke her hair and let her weep.
What I said, I was never going to leave you.
Hush, baby, I know.
You do?
She pulls away and studies me through her tears.
I worked it out, eventually. Honestly, Anna, what were you thinking?
She places her head on my shoulder.
You took me by surprise when we spoke at the bank, thinking I was leaving you. I thought you knew me better. I've said to you over and over I would never leave.
Slowly, I blow out a breath. But after the appalling way I've behaved, I tighten my arms around her.
I thought for a short time that I'd lost you.
No, Christian, never. I didn't want you to interfere and put Mia's life in danger.
Interfere?
How did you work it out?
She asks. I tuck her hair behind her ear. I'd just touched down in Seattle when the bank called. Last I'd heard, you were ill and going home.
So you were in Portland when Sawyer called you from the car?
We were just about to take off. I was worried about you.
You were?
Of course I was. I skim her lower lip with my thumb. I spend my life worrying about you. You know that. This earns me a half smile. That's something.
Jack called me at the office,
she says, her eyes wide once more.
He gave me 2 hours to get the money.
She shrugs.
I had to leave and it just seemed the best excuse.
Fucking Hyde. And you gave Sawyer the slip. He's mad at you as well, I mutter.
As well?
As well as me. She raises her hand, her fingertips once more caressing my face. Closing my eyes, I lean into her touch, savoring the feel of her fingers skating over my stubble.
Don't be mad at me, please,
she whispers. I am so mad at you. What you did was monumentally stupid, bordering on insane.
I told you I didn't know what else to do.
You don't seem to have any regard for your personal safety, and it's not just you now. But before she or I can say anything further, the door opens and Dr. Bartley strides in.
Good evening, Mrs. Gray. I'm Dr. Bartley.
I give her a nod and step away so she has room to examine my wife. While she's doing that, I call Dad to let him know that Anna is awake.
Oh, that's great news, son.
He pauses, and I know he's listening to Grace.
Your mother says to apologize.
I'll do that, Dad.
Why? What's happened?
Carrick sounds confused.
It's a long story.
Okay. Give Anna our love. We'll come see her tomorrow.
I call Carla to give her the good news.
Thank you, Christian.
She sobs through her tears. Next, Kavanaugh.
Thank God,
Kate says.
And I hope you two have made up.
Yeah, I mutter, though it's none of her fucking business. I've got to call Ray.
Okay,
Kate says.
And tell Anna no more chasing kidnappers?
Will do. Ray is so relieved he's silent for several seconds while he gathers himself. Eventually he says,
I appreciate the call, Christian. Tell Annie I love her.
Will do, Ray. When I finish my call to my father-in-law, Dr. Bartley is prodding my wife's ribs. Anna winces.
These are bruised, not cracked or broken. You were very lucky, Mrs. Gray.
Anna glances at me. Foolhardy, I mouth. I'm still fucking angry with you, Anna.
I'll prescribe some painkillers. You'll need them for this and for the headache you must have. But all's looking as it should, Mrs. Gray. I suggest you get some sleep. Depending on how you feel in the morning, we may let you go home. My colleague, Dr. Singh, will be attending you then.
Thank you.
A loud knock, and Taylor enters, carrying a hefty box from the Fairmont Olympic.
Food?
Dr. Bartley says, surprised. Mrs. Gray is hungry, I inform her. This is chicken soup.
Soup will be fine, just the broth. Nothing heavy.
She looks pointedly at both of us, then exits the room with Nurse Nora. There's a wheeled tray in the corner. I maneuver it over to Anna, and Taylor places the box on it.
Welcome back, Mrs. Gray,
he says with a fond smile.
Hello, Taylor. Thank you.
You're most welcome, ma'am.
He stops, and I glance up at him as I unpack the box. I think he wants to say more, perhaps to scold Anna. I wouldn't blame him, but he just smiles at her. In addition to the thermos with soup, there's a small basket of bread rolls, a linen napkin, a china bowl, and a silver spoon.
This is great, Taylor,
Anna says.
Will that be all?
Taylor asks. Yes, thanks, I say. He can go back to bed.
Taylor, thank you.
Anything else I can get you, Mrs. Gray?
She looks at me and arches a brow.
Just some clean clothes for Christian?
Taylor glances at me and smiles.
Yes, ma'am.
What? I check my shirt. I've not spilled anything down it. But I haven't washed or shaved for days. I must look like shit.
How long have you been wearing that shirt?
Anna asks. Since Thursday morning. I give her an apologetic shrug and Taylor leaves us. Taylor's real pissed at you too, I add, and unscrew the lid of the thermos to pour the soup into the bowl. Anna dives in with an eagerness I've never seen before. At the first mouthful, she closes her eyes as if in ecstasy.
Good.
I perch on the bed once more. She nods enthusiastically and takes another spoonful, then pauses to wipe her mouth on a linen napkin.
Tell me what happened after you realized what was going on.
Oh, Anna, it's good to see you eat.
I'm hungry. Tell me.
I frown, trying to remember the order in which everything happened. Well, after the bank called, and I thought my world had completely fallen apart, Anna stops and gazes at me, looking lost. Don't stop eating or I'll stop talking. I sound far sterner than I intend. She flattens her lips, but continues to eat. Anyway, shortly after you and I had finished our conversation, Taylor informed me that Hyde had been granted bail. How, I don't know. I thought we'd managed to thwart any attempts at bail. But that gave me a moment to think about what you'd said, and I knew something was seriously wrong.
It was never about the money,
she snaps, suddenly raising her voice.
How could you even think that? It's never been about your fucking money.
Whoa.
Mind your language, I exclaim. Calm down and eat. She glares at me, eyes blazing with anger.
Anna, that hurt me more than anything, Christian,
she whispers. Almost as much as you seeing that woman.
Shit. I close my eyes as my remorse returns full-blown.
I know.
I sigh. And I'm sorry. More than you know. Please eat while your soup is still hot. My tone is contrite and gentle. I owe her that. She picks up her spoon and I blow out a breath of relief.
Go on.
Anna encourages me between bites of soft bread roll. We didn't know Mia was missing. I thought maybe he was blackmailing you or something. I called you back, but you didn't answer. I scowl, remembering how impotent I felt. I left you a message and then called Sawyer. Taylor started tracking your cell. I knew you were at the bank, so we headed straight there.
I don't know how Sawyer found me. Was he tracking my cell too?
The Saab is fitted with a tracking device. All our cars are. By the time we got near the bank, you were already on the move, and we followed. Why are you smiling?
On some level, I knew you'd be stalking me.
And that is amusing because...
Jack had instructed me to get rid of my cell, so I borrowed Waylon's cell, and that's the one I threw away. I put mine into one of the duffel bags so you could track your money.
I sigh. Our money, Anna. Eat. Once again, I'm amazed by her cool head and quick thinking, but I merely watch as she wipes the last piece of bread around the bowl and pops it into her mouth.
Finished.
Good girl. There's a knock on the door and Nurse Nora enters once more, carrying a small paper cup.
Pain relief,
Nora announces, while I pack the detritus from Anna's meal back into the box from the Olympic.
Is this okay to take, you know, with the baby?
Yes, Mrs. Gray.
She hands Anna the pills and a fresh glass of water.
It's Tylenol. It's fine. It won't affect the baby.
Anna swallows the tablet, yawns, and blinks sleepily.
You ought to rest, Mrs. Gray.
Nurse Nora looks pointedly at me. I nod. Yes, she should.
You're going?
Anna exclaims with a look of alarm. I snort. If you think for one moment I'm going to let you out of my sight, Mrs. Gray, you are very much mistaken. Nora gives me a withering look as she adjusts Anna's pillows so Anna can lie down.
Good night, Mrs. Gray,
she says, and with one last censorious glance at me, she leaves. I don't think Nurse Nora approves of me. I look down at my wife. Awake, present, fed, and my relief is overwhelming, but I'm utterly drained and bone-weary. I don't think I've ever felt so tired in my life.
You need rest too, Christian. Go home, you look exhausted.
I'm not leaving you. I'll doze in this armchair. I can ease up on my vigil for a little while. She scowls, then smiles as if she's had a mischievous idea, and shifts over.
Sleep with me.
What? No way. No, I can't.
Why not?
I don't want to hurt you.
You won't hurt me. Please, Christian.
You have an IV.
Christian, please.
It's so tempting. I shouldn't, but I can hold her, and my urge to hold her supersedes my common sense.
Please.
She lifts the blankets, inviting me into her bed. Fuck it. I slip out of my shoes and socks and climb into my wife's bed, facing her. Gently, I put an arm around her, and she lays her head on my chest. Oh, the feel of her, Anna. I kiss her hair. I don't think Nurse Nora will be very happy with this arrangement. Anna giggles and stops abruptly.
Don't make me laugh, it hurts.
Oh, but I love that sound. And I love you, Anna, with all my heart. I'm sorry, baby. So, so sorry. I kiss her once more and inhale her scent. I catch a trace of my Anna. She's there, beneath the chemicals. My wife, my beautiful wife. She rests her hand on my heart, and I place my hand on hers and close my eyes.
Why did you go see that woman?
Oh, Anna.
I groan.
You want to discuss that now? Can't we drop this? I regret it, okay? I need to know.
I'll tell you tomorrow. I mutter, too tired to be pissed about her question. Oh, and Detective Clark wants to talk to you. Just routine. Now go to sleep. I kiss her hair again.
Do we know why Jack was doing all this?
I murmur, as sleep beckons hard and fast. And after hours and hours of worry, regret, and exhaustion, I submit and fall into a deep, dreamless slumber. Saturday, September 17th, 2011. Anna is out cold. I can't wake her.
Wake up, Anna. Wake up.
Elena struts over to sit down beside me. She's naked but for long, tight leather gloves that stop just above her elbows, and her black stilettos with red soles. She takes my hand.
No.
Her fingers clasp my thigh.
No, don't touch me. No more. Only Anna.
Her eyes blaze in anger, but the fire in them dies. Defeated, she stands, clothed now in black.
Goodbye, Christian.
She flips her hair to the side and stalks to the door without looking back. I turn. Anna is awake, smiling at me.
Join me. Sleep with me. Stay with me.
My heart soars. Her words bring me joy. She caresses my cheek.
Stay with me, please.
She begs. How can I resist? She loves me. She does. And I love her. When I wake, it takes me a moment to remember that I'm in Anna's hospital bed. She slumbers at my side, facing me, her head on the pillow. Eyes closed, lips parted, her cheek pale except for the faint purple blemish from Hyde's cruel blow. The sight of it twists my gut in anger. Don't dwell, Gray. She's here. She's safe. I blink the sleep from my eyes, feeling rested but grimy. I'm in dire need of a shower, a shave, and clean clothes. My watch says 6:20 a.m. I have time. Now that Anna's back in the world of the living, I don't mind leaving her for a little while. With any luck, she'll continue to sleep until I return. Carefully, so as not to wake her, I slide out of bed and slip on my shoes. I brush my lips to her forehead in the semblance of a kiss, then grab my phone, charger, and jacket, and tiptoe out of the room as if I'm fleeing a crime scene. I'm doing the walk of shame. The thought amuses me. We're married, for fuck's sake. Fortunately, Nora and her colleagues are not at the nurse's station, so my escape is unnoticed. It's my lucky day. There's a cab waiting at the entrance of the hospital, and no photographers. And because it's early, I make good time to Escala. By the time the elevator doors open to the penthouse, my mood is buoyant. Taylor is in the foyer, on his way out. He steps back, mouth open, surprised to see me, but he recovers quickly.
Mr. Gray, welcome back.
Good morning, Taylor.
I would have picked you up. I was bringing you a change of clothes as per Mrs. Gray's instructions and the Seattle Times.
He brandishes a leather duffel. It's fine. I need a shower. We'll head back when I'm done.
Yes, sir. I'll ask Sawyer to join us.
We'll pick up some breakfast for her on the way.
He nods.
The steaming water cascades over me, washing away my sins. Damn. After all that I've done, I wish it were that simple. And to cap it off, Anna wants to know everything about my discussion with Elena. What the hell am I going to tell her?
The truth, Gray.
She's not going to like it. But I owe her that, especially considering my recent awful behavior. My effervescent humor fizzles and dies. While I shave, I contemplate the asshole who stares back at me in the mirror. You owe her more than that. After all that Anna's done for you, she saved your sister. She saved you. I close my eyes.
It's true. This woman has disarmed me at every turn. She's broken through all my barriers, cracked me wide open, and shined her light inside. She doesn't take any of my shit. She's driven out my darkness like the warrior she is, and offered me hope because she loves me. I know it. And she's carrying my child. Fuck. A child. The gray-eyed asshole stares back at me, bewildered. She's done all of this for the simple reason that she loves me and because she's a decent human, and how do I treat her? Badly doesn't cover it, Gray. Her words haunt me.
I do choose this defenseless baby over you. That's what any loving parent does. That's what your mother should have done for you. And I'm sorry that she didn't, because we wouldn't be having this conversation right now if she had. But you're an adult now. You need to grow up and smell the fucking coffee and stop behaving like a petulant adolescent.
And I thought she was leaving me. I wipe my face. Make this right, Gray. On the way to the hospital, we stop and Taylor hurries into the cafe that he phoned for takeout. He returns with what looks like a breakfast feast for Anna. I hope she's hungry. Sawyer pulls up at the entrance to the hospital, but when I climb out of the car, I'm ambushed by a couple of photographers who start snapping away.
How's your wife, Mr. Gray?
Mr. Gray, will you be pressing charges?
I ignore the assholes and dart inside the lobby. Taylor follows, carrying Anna's breakfast. We head to the nurse's kitchen on Anna's ward, where we lay out her breakfast on a tray. Damn, why didn't I bring a small vase, and I could steal a flower from one of the mini bouquets she's received? It would go some way toward an apology.
Sir, says Taylor, as I lift the loaded tray. Before she left, Gail made Mrs. Gray's favorite chicken stew. If I need to bring that in later for lunch, sir.
Good to know. I'm hoping I can take her home this morning. Taylor nods his affirmation and pushes open the door to Anna's room to let me in, and I'm hoping for a warm welcome. She's gone. Shit.
Anna!
I shout as my heart catapults into overdrive.
I'm in the bathroom.
Oh, thank God. Taylor bursts through the door as alarmed as I was. We're good. I reassure him, and he steps out again, presumably to sit in the corridor. I place the food on Anna's rolling tray and wait, again, for Mrs. Gray, patiently this time. A moment later, she appears and rewards me with a broad grin. I'm relieved to see her up and about. Good morning, Mrs. Gray. I have your breakfast. She climbs into bed while I pull the tray on wheels over toward her and lift the cover. One wide-eyed, grateful glance from Anna is all the confirmation I need as she gulps down the orange juice and starts on the oatmeal. I sit on the edge of her bed, taking vicarious pleasure in her enjoyment as she eats. Not only is she ravenous, but there's some color in her cheeks. She's on the mend.
What?
She asks, with her mouth full. I like to watch you eat. How are you feeling?
Better.
I've never seen you eat like this. She looks up, her expression serious.
It's because I'm pregnant, Christian.
I snort. If I knew getting you knocked up was going to make you eat, I might have done it earlier. My smart-ass remark is an effort to distract her from a serious conversation that I'm not ready to have. I don't know how I feel about this yet.
Christian Gray!
She drops the spoon in her oatmeal. Don't stop eating.
Christian, we need to talk about this.
What's there to say? We're going to be parents. I shrug, hoping she'll change the subject. Anna's not impressed. She pushes the tray aside, crawls down the bed, and takes my hands in hers. I sit staring at her, paralyzed.
You're scared. I get it,
she says gently, pinning me with deep blue eyes.
I am too. That's normal.
I'm aware that I'm holding my breath. How can I love a child? I've only just learned to love you. What kind of father could I possibly be? I whisper, forcing the words through my tightening throat.
Oh, Christian.
My name's almost a sob, and it twists my heart.
One that tries his best. That's all any of us can do.
Anna, I don't know if I can.
Of course you can. You're loving, you're fun, you're strong. You'll set boundaries. Our child will want for nothing.
Her eyes widen, imploring me. Anna, it's just so soon. Is there room in my heart for someone else? Is there room in your heart for both of us? She continues.
Yes, it would have been ideal to have waited, to have longer, just the two of us. But we'll be three of us, and we'll all grow up together. We'll be a family, our own family. And your child will love you unconditionally like I do.
Tears pool in her eyes and slowly trickle down her cheeks.
Oh, Anna.
I gasp while keeping my own tears lodged in my throat. I thought I'd lost you. Then I thought I'd lost you again. Seeing you lying on the ground, pale and cold and unconscious. It was all my worst fears realized, and now here you are. Brave and strong. Giving me hope. Loving me, after all that I've done.
Yes, I do love you, Christian. Desperately. I always will.
Reaching up, I take her head in my hands and gently wipe away her tears with my thumbs.
I love you too.
I draw her lips to mine and kiss her, beyond grateful that she's still here and whole. Grateful that she's mine. I'll try to be a good father.
You'll try and you'll succeed. And let's face it, you don't have much choice in the matter, because Blip and I are not going anywhere.
Blip?
Blip.
Blip. I had the name Junior in my head.
Junior it is, then.
But I like Blip. I kiss her again, tentatively teasing her lips, and it's a match to dry kindling. My reaction immediate, innate. No. I pull away. Much as I'd like to kiss you all day, your breakfast is getting cold. Anna's eyes shine the color of a summer sky. She's amused, I think. Eat, I insist. She shuffles back into bed and I push the tray in front of her, a barrier between us. She starts on the pancakes with enthusiasm.
You know,
she says between mouthfuls,
Blip might be a girl.
Christ, I run my hand through my hair. Two women, eh?
Do you have a preference?
Preference?
Boy or girl?
Healthy will do. Jesus, a girl? Who looks like Anna? Eat, I snap.
I'm eating. Jeez, keep your hair on, Gray.
I move off the bed and take a seat in the armchair beside her, cheered that we've finally broached the subject of Blip. Blip, yeah, I like the name. I reach for the newspaper. Shit, Anna is on the front page. You made the papers again, Mrs. Gray. Inside, I'm seething. Why can't they leave us alone? Fucking press.
Again?
The hacks are just rehashing yesterday's story, but it seems factually accurate. You want to read it? She shakes her head.
Read it to me, I'm eating.
Anything to keep you eating, wife. I read the article out loud as Anna tucks into her breakfast. She doesn't comment on what's been written, but asks me to read more.
I like listening to you.
Her words warm my soul. She finishes her breakfast, sits back, and listens as I continue, but we're interrupted by a knock on the door. My spirits sink when Detective Clark shambles in.
Mr. Gray, Mrs. Gray, am I interrupting?
Yes, I snap. He's the last person I want to see. Clark ignores me, which sets my teeth on edge, the arrogant asshole.
Glad to see you're awake, Mrs. Gray, he says. I need to ask you a few questions about Thursday afternoon, just routine. Is now a convenient time?
Sure,
Anna mumbles, but she looks wary.
My wife should be resting. I'll be brief, Mr. Gray, and it means I'll be out of your hair sooner rather than later.
He has a point. Giving Anna an apologetic look, reluctantly I stand and offer him my chair, then perch on the other side of her bed and take Anna's hand. I listen quietly as Clark lets my wife tell her side of Hyde's kidnapping and extortion horror story. The words are at odds with her soft, sweet voice. Occasionally, I tighten my grip on her hand as I rein in my anger, and I'm relieved when it's over. Anna's done well to remember so many details.
That's great, Mrs. Gray.
Clark seems pleased.
I wish you'd aimed higher, I mutter.
Might have done womankind a service if Mrs. Gray had, he agrees.
Anna's puzzled look skims from Clark to me. She doesn't know what we're talking about, but I'm not going to explain that right now.
Thank you, Mrs. Gray. That's all for now.
Clark shifts in his seat, ready to leave.
You won't let him out again, will you?
Anna flinches visibly at the thought.
I don't think he'll make bail this time, ma'am.
Do we know who posted his bail? I ask.
No, sir. It was confidential.
I'll chase Welch for an update to see if he's found Hyde's benefactor. Clark rises to leave just as Dr. Singh and two interns enter the room, and I follow the detective out, taking Anna's tray with me.
Good day, Mr. Gray,
Clark says, saluting me, then walks on up the corridor. Taylor rises from his chair outside Anna's room and follows me into the nurse's kitchen, where I deposit the tray.
Sir, I'll take care of that.
Thanks. I leave him to wash up and return to Anna's room, where I hang back while Dr. Singh completes her examination.
You're good. I think you can go home,
she says with a pleasant smile to Anna. Thank God.
Mrs. Gray, you'll have to watch for worsening headaches and blurry vision. If that occurs, you must return to the hospital immediately.
Anna nods, beaming, clearly as grateful as I am that she's being discharged. Dr. Singh, can I have a word?
Of course.
We step into the corridor, and I'm relieved that Taylor is still away from his station on the chair outside.
My wife,
Yes, Mr. Gray?
Her injuries, will they stop us?
Dr. Singh frowns.
Sexual act?
She interrupts me, finally understanding my gist.
Yes, Mr. Gray, that's fine.
She smiles and adds in a quieter tone.
Provided your wife is, you know, willing.
I give her a broad smile.
What was all that about?
Anna asks as I close the door.
Sex.
I give her a wicked grin. Anna colors.
And?
You're good to go.
Anna can't hide her amusement.
I have a headache.
Her teasing smirk makes me doubt if she's being entirely truthful.
I know. You'll be off limits for a while. I was just checking.
She frowns. And if I'm interpreting her look correctly, I'd say she's disappointed. Nurse Nora bustles into the room, and after a haughty glance at me, she removes Anna's IV. Anna thanks her, and Nora exits. I smile as she leaves. I don't begrudge her at all. She's taken good care of my wife. I resolve to make a substantial donation to the hospital staff appreciation fund.
Shall I take you home?
I turn to Anna.
I'd like to see Ray first.
Gray, of course she wants to see her dad.
Sure. Does he know about the baby?
I thought you'd want to be the one to tell him. I haven't told your mom either.
Thank you.
My mom knows. She saw your chart. I told my dad, but no one else. Mom said couples normally wait for 12 weeks or so to be sure. I shrug. This is her decision.
I'm not sure I'm ready to tell Ray.
That's probably a good idea. I should warn you, he's mad as hell. Said I should spank you. Anna's mouth drops open. It's such a gratifying response, I laugh. I told him I'd be only too willing to oblige.
You didn't!
Anna gapes at me, but her eyes shine with amusement. Will this ever get old? Shocking my wife? I'm glad I still can. I wink at her. Here, Taylor brought you some clean clothes. I'll help you dress. Ray is quietly overjoyed to see his daughter. It shows in his eyes, unmasked for a moment when he sets them on Anna. Fear, relief, love, and anger are all reflected in their dark depths. I beat a hasty retreat, knowing he's going to reprimand Anna as she deserves to be reprimanded. Taylor is waiting outside by her door.
Sir, there are still photographers outside the main entrance.
Find a back way out, and have Sawyer meet us there with the car.
Will do.
He strides off, and I reach for my phone to call Welch.
Mr. Gray,
he answers.
Welch, any news?
Yes, I'm waiting to board my plane. Let me find a quiet corner.
There's rustling, and I hear a muffled airline departure announcement, but not to Seattle.
Right,
he grunts.
I have uncovered some information about Hyde. I'll bring that to you. I'd rather you see it in person than have me go through it over the phone.
Can't you tell me now?
I'd rather not. It's a little public here, and this is not a secure line.
What the hell could it be?
Also, the police discovered several USB sticks in Hyde's apartment during their fingertip search. Sex tapes, all of them. With his old assistants, with Morgan. It's some pretty heavy stuff.
Fuck. My scalp crawls.
My guess is he used the footage to buy their silence, and also to blackmail Morgan.
Welch's gruff voice drives the point home. I knew about Morgan, but his former assistants? Thank God I stopped Anna from going to New York with him.
They'll probably charge him with that, too,
Welch continues.
But they're still building their case.
I see. Any word on who posted bail yet?
Nothing certain, but I'll get into that when I'm back.
What time can I expect you?
I'll be there around 5 p.m.
See you then. I hang up and wonder what he's found that connects me to Hyde. Anna is subdued as we head down to the rear entrance of the hospital. I think she's been chastened by the reunion with her father, and even though I'm with her dad all the way on this, a very small part of me feels sorry for her. I would not like to be on the receiving end of Raymond Steele's ire. Once in the car, Anna calls her mother.
Hi, Mom.
Her voice is husky with controlled emotion. Carla, on the other hand, I can hear through the phone as she sobs and wails.
Mom.
Anna doesn't stand a chance. Her eyes fill, and I reach over to take her hand and give her a supportive squeeze, brushing my thumb over her knuckles. But I tune their conversation out as my thoughts turn to Welch and what he might have discovered. I'm irritated that he didn't give me a clue over the phone. Do I even want to know? I stare out of the window and wonder.
What's wrong?
Anna asks, and I realize she's finished her call with her mom. Welch wants to see me.
Welch, why?
He's found something out about that fucker Hyde. My lips form a snarl around his name. I loathe the man with every fiber of my being. Loathe is not strong enough. Hate is not strong enough. I detest him and everything he's done. Anna is still looking at me expectantly. He didn't want to tell me on the phone.
Oh.
He's coming here this afternoon from Detroit.
You think he's found a connection?
I nod.
What do you think it is?
I have no idea. It's frustrating, but I shelve the thought, as right now I need to concentrate on my wife. Glad to be home? I ask Anna as we step into the elevator at Escala.
Yes.
Anna's reply is pin drop quiet, and I watch as the blood slowly drains from her face. She raises glazed eyes to me and starts to tremble. Hell, it's finally hitting her. She's traumatized.
Hey,
I gather her into my arms.
You're home, you're safe.
I kiss her hair, thankful that she smells more like Anna, without the synthetic tang of drugs and disinfectant.
Oh, Christian.
A sob bubbles up through her lips, and she starts to weep.
Hush now.
I cradle her head against my chest, wanting to chase away the hurt and fear. She must have been holding all this emotion inside. For my benefit? I hope not. I hate to see her cry, but I understand the need right now. Let it all out, baby. I'm here. When the elevator doors slide open, I lift her into my arms, and she clings to me, sobbing still, each sound a lesion in my heart. I carry her through the foyer, down the corridor, and into our ensuite, where I deposit her on the white chair as if she's made of glass. Bath? Anna shakes her head, then winces. Shit, her head aches. Shower? She nods, tears still streaming down her face. The sight claws at my soul, and I suck in a breath to contain my warring emotions, rage at Hyde and fury at myself for letting this happen. I switch on the shower, and when I turn back, Anna's rocking slowly, keening into her hands. Hey. I kneel at her feet and cover each of her hands in mine, easing them away from her tear-stained cheeks. I cradle her face, and she blinks away her tears as we gaze into each other's eyes. You're safe. You both are, I murmur. Her grief wells in her eyes once more and renders me helpless.
Stop now. I can't bear it when you cry.
My voice is hoarse. My words are honest, yet woefully inadequate against the tide of her anguish. I wipe her cheeks once more with my thumbs, but it's a losing battle. Her tears still flow.
I'm sorry, Christian. Just sorry for everything. For making you worry. For risking everything. For the things I said.
Hush, baby, please.
I kiss her forehead.
I'm sorry. It takes two to tango, Anna.
I try a crooked smile to cheer her. Well, that's what my mom always says. I said things and did things I'm not proud of. My words come back to haunt me. This is why I like control, so shit like this doesn't come along and fuck everything up. Shame burns like a pyre in my chest. Gray, this is not helping. Let's get you undressed. Anna wipes her nose with the back of her hand, and the raw gesture endears her to me even more. I kiss her forehead because I need her to know that I love her, no matter what she does. Taking her hand, I support her as she staggers to her feet and quickly undress her, taking particular care as I tug her t-shirt over her head. I guide her to the shower and open the door, where we pause as I strip out of my clothing. When I'm naked, I take her hand again and we both step in. Beneath the waterfall of steaming water, I hold her hard and tight against me. I never want to let her go. She continues to cry, her tears washed away by the cascade flowing over us. I rock her gently from side to side, the rhythm soothing me, and I hope, Anna. I'm rocking my child, too, inside her. Whoa, that's a strange thought. I kiss her hair, so grateful that she's back home with me, when I'd feared.
Shit, don't go there, Gray.
All of a sudden, I hear a loud sniff, and Anna steps out of my arms. She seems to have stopped crying.
Better?
She nods, her eyes clear.
Good. Let me look at you.
Her brow furrows, and I hope she won't stop me, as I need to see for myself what that asshole prick has done to my wife. Taking her hand, I turn it over. My gaze travels from the graze on her wrist to the abrasion at her elbow to the large fist-sized bruise on her shoulder. The sight of these marks infuriates me, igniting the embers of my earlier anger at Hyde. I bend to kiss each scrape and bruise, planting the barest of kisses at each site. Grabbing the washcloth and shower gel from the rack, I soap the cloth, inhaling the sweet fragrance of jasmine.
Turn around.
Anna does as she's told, and knowing she's fragile and wounded,
I wash her arms, neck, shoulders, and back as tenderly as I'm able. Absorbed in the task, I keep my touch light. She doesn't complain, and the tension in her shoulders eases little by little as I wash them. I turn her so I have a clearer view of the bruise on her hip. My fingers skate over the livid purple mark. She winces. Motherfucker.
It doesn't hurt,
Anna says quietly, and I raise my head to meet her brilliant gaze. I don't believe her. I want to kill him. I nearly did. The rage I felt when Hyde was on the ground burns deep inside my soul. I should have kicked him to a pulp. To shield Anna from my murderous thoughts, I concentrate on the washcloth and soap it again with shower gel. I bathe her body once more, her sides and her behind, and I kneel at her feet and wash her legs. I pause at the bruise on her knee, lean in and brush my lips against it before moving on to soap her feet. Her fingers tangle in my hair, distracting me from my task. When I look up, her expression is raw and tender, and it twists my heart. Standing, I trace the bruise at her ribs with my fingertips, the sight stoking my fury once more. But I dampen it down. It's not helping either of us.
Oh, baby.
I push the words past the anguish in my throat.
I'm okay.
Her fingers weave into my hair again, and she pulls my head down and kisses me. Soft. Sweet. I hold myself back. She's hurt. But her tongue teases me, and the fire flares once more, blazing through my body in a different way. No. I whisper against her lips and pull back. Let's get you clean. Anna regards me through her lashes, that way she does, and her eyes flick down to my growing erection, then back to my eyes. She pouts so prettily, and the mood between us lightens immediately. Grinning like the clown I am, I kiss her quickly. Clean, not dirty.
I like dirty.
Me too, Mrs. Gray. But not now, not here. I grab the shampoo and squirt some into my hands. Using only my fingertips, I gently wash her hair, remembering how gentle she was when she last washed mine, and how cherished I felt then. After I've rinsed out the suds, I switch off the shower and exit, taking her with me. I cloak her in a warm towel, wrap one around my own waist, and hand her a towel for her hair. Here. She can judge how vigorous to be. She's the one with a hairline fracture in her skull. My lighter mood takes a nosedive. That asshole.
I still don't understand why Elizabeth was involved with Jack.
Anna intrudes on my dark thoughts.
I do,
I offer. She peers at me, and I'm expecting a question, but she seems to lose her train of thought as her eyes study me, all of me.
Mrs. Gray,
I smirk. Enjoying the view?
How do you know?
That you're enjoying the view?
No.
She sounds exasperated.
About Elizabeth.
I sigh. Detective Clark hinted at it. Anna's brows knit together and her gaze goads me, demanding more information. Hyde had videos of all of them, on several USB flash drives, videos of him fucking her and fucking all his PAs. Her mouth drops open. Exactly. Blackmail material. He likes it rough.
So do I.
Fuck. Christ. Self-disgust sweeps over me like an avenging angel.
Don't.
Anna interrupts, the word like the crack of a whip.
Don't what?
You aren't anything like him.
How did she guess?
You're not.
Anna's tone is insistent.
Oh, but Anna, I am. We're cut from the same cloth.
No, you're not.
Anna's fervent denial silences me.
His dad died in a brawl in a bar. His mother drank herself into oblivion. He was in and out of foster homes as a kid, in and out of trouble too, mainly boosting cars.
Spent time in juvie.
My God, she's remembered everything I told her on the plane to Aspen, and she doesn't stop. She's on a roll.
You both have troubled pasts, and you were both born in Detroit. That's it, Christian.
She fists her hands and places them on her hips. She's trying to intimidate me, dressed only in a towel. It's not going to work, because I know who I am. But I don't want to rile her. Now is not the time for an argument. It's not good for her or the baby. Anna, your faith in me is touching, especially in light of the last few days. We'll know more when Welch is here.
Christian.
Bending, I plant a swift kiss on her lips to end the discussion. Enough. Her expression is sullen. And don't pout, I add. Come, let me dry your hair. She presses her lips together, but to my relief, she drops the subject. I lead her into the bedroom, then head into the closet, where I dress quickly, dragging on jeans and a t-shirt. I grab a pair of her sweatpants and one of my t-shirts for her. While she slips on the clothes, I plug in the hairdryer, sit down on the bed, and gesture to her to join me. Anna perches between my legs and I start to brush through her wet hair. I love combing out her hair. It's so soothing. Soon the only sound in our bedroom is the high-pitched whine of the hairdryer. Anna's shoulders slump as she relaxes against me. She's quiet for a while.
So did Clark tell you anything else while I was unconscious?
Her words drag me from my absorbing task. Not that I recall.
I heard a few of your conversations.
Did you? I stopped brushing.
Yes, my dad, your dad, Detective Clark, your mom.
And Kate?
Kate was there?
Briefly, yes. She's mad at you, too. She jerks around.
Stop with the everyone is mad at Anna crap, okay?
Her tone is as high-pitched as the hairdryer. Just telling you the truth. I shrug. I'm still a little mad at you myself, Anna.
Yes, it was reckless. But you know, your sister was in danger.
Yes, she was, I murmur, as a bleak, morbid fantasy of what could have happened plays out once more in my head. Disarmed with a simple truth. Anna, you humble me at every turn. I switch off the hairdryer and grasp her chin, gazing into clear but vibrant eyes, eyes I could drown in. No, I'm not mad. I'm in awe of my brave, brave woman. She had the courage to save me. Thank you. The words are inadequate, but no more recklessness, because next time I will spank the living shit out of you. She sucks in a breath.
You wouldn't.
Oh, baby, my palm is twitching right now. I would. I can't hold back my smug smile. I have your father's permission. Anna's pupils dilate and her lips part. And it's there between us, that electricity that crackles invisibly. I feel it everywhere. And I know she does too. Anna, no. Suddenly, she launches herself at me. Fuck, Anna. I catch her and twist so that we fall together on the bed, Anna in my arms. But her face crumples in pain, and she gasps. Behave. I growl, my tone harsher than I intend.
Sorry.
She caresses my cheek and I take her hand and kiss her palm. Honestly, Anna, you really have no regard for your own safety. I lift the hem of her t-shirt and rest my fingertips on her belly. A thrill of the unknown sharpens all my senses. There is life here, inside her. What did she say? Flesh of my flesh. Our child. It's not just you anymore, I whisper, and skate my fingers across her taut, warm skin. Anna tenses beneath me, dragging air into her lungs. I know that sound. My eyes move to hers and I lose myself in their fathomless blue depths.
It's Anna's desire. I feel it too. Our special alchemy. But it's impossible. She's hurt. Reluctantly, I lift my fingertips from her skin, tug down her t-shirt, then tuck a stray lock of hair behind her ear, because I still need to touch her. But I can't give her what we both want.
No, I breathe.
Hannah's face falls, her expression forlorn. Don't look at me like that. I've seen the bruises, and the answer's no. I kiss her forehead, and she squirms beside me.
Christian,
she moans, needling me. No, get into bed. I sit up to remove myself from temptation.
Bed?
She looks crestfallen. You need rest.
I need you.
The wine has gone, leaving only a husky come on in her voice. Closing my eyes, I shake my head at her audacity and my desire. She's hurt. I open my eyes and glare at her.
Just do as you're told, Anna.
Okay,
she mutters, with an exaggerated pout that immediately lifts my spirits and makes me want to laugh. I'll bring you some lunch.
You're going to cook?
She blinks, incredulous. I'm going to heat something up. Mrs. Jones has been busy.
Christian, I'll do it. I'm fine. Jeez, I want sex. I can certainly cook.
She struggles to sit up, but winces.
Damn it, Anna.
Bed! I point at the pillow, all carnal thoughts banished.
Join me.
She makes one last-ditch attempt. I don't know what's gotten into her. Not you recently, Gray. Anna, get into bed now. I scowl. She answers with a scowl of her own, stands and drops her sweatpants to the floor in a dramatic gesture. In spite of her glower, she looks lovely. I hide my smile, and part of me is beyond pleased that she still wants me after all that's transpired over the last few days. She loves me. I draw back the duvet. You heard Dr. Singh. She said rest. Still pouting, Anna complies, sliding into bed and folding her arms, conveying her frustration. I want to laugh, but I don't think my mirth would be well received. Stay, I order, and with the memory of her beautiful, sour face, I hurry into the kitchen to find the fabled chicken stew Taylor mentioned this morning. It's good to see Anna wolfing down Mrs. Jones's cooking. I sit cross-legged in the middle of the bed, watching her as I devour my lunch. It's delicious and nourishing, too. Perfect for Anna.
That was very well heated.
She smacks her lips, looking replete and a little drowsy. I beam at her, feeling pleased. I managed not to burn myself this time, so yeah, it was. You look tired. I place my bowl on her tray and, standing, take both from her.
I am,
she admits. Good. Sleep. I kiss her quickly. I have some work I need to do. I'll do it in here, if that's okay with you. She nods and closes her eyes, and seconds later she's out. Roz has sent me a preliminary report of her visit to Taiwan. She reassures me that while it was the right decision for her to go, I'll still need to travel there myself, and soon. It's strange reading her quick summary. It's been days since I thought about my business, my company, the shipyard, or even the world at large. I've lost track of time. My attention has been solely concentrated on my wife. I glance over at her. She's still fast asleep. I read through my other emails, and there's a detailed earnings projection on Gio Lumara and a remarkably upbeat email from Hassan at GEH Fiber Optics. Morale there is up since my visit, and business is going well. My trip to see them was worth it. Taylor's gentle tap at the door disturbs my reading.
Welch is here, sir.
I can barely hear him, he's speaking so softly.
I nod, and with another quick check on my sleeping beauty, follow him out to the living room. Welch is standing and admiring the view from the window. He's grasping a large manila envelope. Showtime Gray. Welch? He turns.
Mr. Gray,
shall we head into my study? I listen to Anna's breathing as I watch her, timing each of my breaths to hers. In, out, focusing on her means that I don't have to focus on the photographs Welch has left with me. Why didn't Carrick and Grace tell me? I lived with Jackson Hyde. How did I not know this? My thoughts have been racing, searching through all the nooks and crannies of my troubled mind, trying to shine a light in the shadows. But I found nothing. My foster care experience is hidden in the murky depths of the past. I cannot remember any of it. A chunk of my life, gone. No, not gone, erased. In its place is a dark, gaping hole of nothing.